moving to oneness. Nourishing curiosity. Embracing differences. Becoming one.
It feels so great if you don't have to walk alone. It feels so great if I don't have to walk alone. It feels wonderful when we walk together. Welcome, everyone. I'm Mylene Elke, your host of the Moving to Oneness podcast. And why I opened with this, because I got a beautiful being with me who really loves lightening the path for you. So it's easier, lighter, not so difficult for you to find your way. So please welcome with me Jennifer Regula. Hello, Jennifer. How are you? Welcome to Moving to Oneness.
Thank you, Mylene. And hello, and thank you. And everyone that's watching right now, it's so great that you're here with us.
Yeah, I fell in love with you. You interviewed me, you gave me the honor to, I was on your podcast, Awaken and Ascend, and you have such naturalness to yourself. You have such a deep, I would say, love for people that they can be who they are, that they can glow right from their soul, from their heart, from their being, and that they can be what they need to be here on this planet. And what I think about you is you love lightening people's paths. So they really, as I said, have it easier to walk their wisdom here on this beautiful earth at the moment. And it is so important that we all are able to do this. So everyone who empowers another being of doing this is dear to my heart, dear Jennifer. So that's why I really double welcome you to my show today.
Thank you. Thank you. And it's such a truth that you share, that you are meant to be in this world. You are meant to be in this world. And I didn't always feel that way. There are many ways I needed to learn to keep my spirit intact and keep walking the path with integrity and authenticity to really be myself and come again and again and again back into alignment. Because there's so much that dispirits us, that pulls us out of alignment. And so I'm really grateful for all the work that you do too, Mylene.
Oh, thank you.
Us to stay connected to our soul purpose.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. It is so hard, right? Most of us, we don't come out of a tribal situation or a culture where this is cherished or our purpose is being known when we were born and was supported to be formed, right? We learned, many of us, through struggle. What are we doing here on this planet? Do we fit? Should we not even be somewhere else? Yeah. And exactly that is why it is so hard for many light beings. And that's many also from the listeners and the viewers that are here now. Many of you, like Jennifer and myself, you're very, very fine. You take in so much. And the people when you were younger didn't understand you. So you closed up, you became silent. You, in a way, not condensed, you became dense because you really pulled yourself tight. So not so much would shine in, or all what you knew or understood that you didn't want to understand because it made you so difficult to be with in your eyes, not, or maybe sometimes in other people's eyes, maybe even your parents, family, friends. And now it is time slowly to widen ourselves again, to let the light come through. And Jennifer, so share more about you and your life, how you got to illuminate yourself again a little bit. There must have been a moment after you've done all this, right? It has to make a fist, like really pulled yourself together, tightened up, became invisible in a way to many. What made you, light the match in a way?
Yeah, you know what? I actually remember that moment. I was lying in bed in a period of transition. I've gone through many, but this was one particular one that I clearly remember, where I was just lying in bed. I had become so disillusioned by everything, by my work, by my husband at the time, by the life that I thought we were creating together. Everything that I had started to build and was gaining momentum on and experiencing life. And I've always been one that's really enthusiastic and just have such wonder of life and, you know, all of that joy and the light. And that had gotten switched off when I became very dispirited, when I was seen as something and someone that I really wasn't. And that kept getting projected on me and projected on me and burying the light, dimming my light. And it became quite a dangerous situation where my husband had threatened to actually end my life. And, you know, I had just about got myself out there and didn't want to be out there anymore because it wasn't safe for me to be out there, you know, where he could find me or where there was any way that I can be able to express myself when I didn't feel like myself. And it was a period when I actually didn't want to live this life anymore. I wasn't feeling it. I wasn't seeing any kind of future. I didn't have any vision for it anymore. I didn't know how this could become of me. I was a counselor prior to that. So I had all these tools and ways of knowing and being and the ways of, that I had been trained in, that I should know better, you know? So there was some real deep shame in that too, and embarrassment. And as a counselor, I was the go-to for many people, clients and not clients, patients, and, you know, people I served and family members and friends and everyone else. I didn't feel comfortable sharing with anyone. But in that moment, when I was lying in bed, Mylene, I suddenly got up because I came to this realization that I wasn't going to end my life because I didn't want to have to come back here again. Because the wake-up call is like, I came here with the mission. I came here to live my mission. I came here to be who I came here to be and do what I came here to do. And I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. It was a defining moment where I decided it was like a rebirth, a continuation in the stream of life with this new conviction that I came here with a mission. And that was even like 3 decades after I had been born into what I had recently written in a magazine article about accidental birth. You know, people talk about accidental death, you know, and for me, it was like an accidental birth. My mom was in her 40s, you know, and she thought she was going through menopause. And then finally, 6 months into it, she decided to go to the doctor. And he said, well, you're pregnant. And she said, she had some choice words for the doctor. This is all being told to me from one of my siblings. And she thought, well, I had 3 children. They were four. Well, in that year, they turned 14, 18, and 20. And she thought, well, I had 3 girls, you know, most of them grown now. Maybe this will be a boy. And I wasn't. So I felt like a perpetual burden and disappointment for a few first decades of my life. And I tried to make something of my life. I still try to find meaning for her, but you know what? My motivation was more external, more about wanting to be accepted, more about people pleasing, more about trying to prove my worthiness, you know? So that didn't go so well. It didn't feel very good. And so it created a lot of turmoil, actually. But it also took me through the many pivots of healing and transformation and rebirth and becoming more and more self-aware and others aware and world aware, it became more of a rite of passage. You know, every transition and transformation I had gone through was like an initiation into a newer way of being and a more elevated way of being. And so that was the moment, I think, that I was able to reconcile my reason for being here, that I wanted to continue this life. I wanted to fulfill my mission. And this is what I see a lot, is that people like myself felt really alienated, isolated, yeah, different from others, not really relating to the peers, trying really hard, thinking, you know, that we're joining in and we're playing along or engaging in conversation, but none of it really working, not really having that connection, the relations that were most life supportive for me.
Yeah, because I think that the relationships, the deep relationships, is the how we relate. And so we want that others relate this way with us. So it is more about the truth. So if you want the truth the whole time, and it is very hard because you sense the truth. Mm-hmm. And you understand it. And also what I think many are also trying it to understand it, or you may have that too, is to bring through the reasoning of, or the being acceptance to walk as you are, when I was, you know, and as the light. And it is often the not that people are against you, but they don't even understand how you have functioned or are functioning now. It was different before. So I think that is something that many people share with you, Jennifer. So thank you very much for being so open and transparent with your story, and you share it so with so much light and love, and with such lightness. This comes also, right? Because you really want others to hear that there is another way to be and walk and show who they are to others.
Yes. And you spoke about truth, Mylene, and truth really is protection. Living in truth is protection. Balance is really about living your truth, you know? Mm-hmm. And so when I didn't feel connected with others, I started opening up more and more to the divine, to the angels, to my compassionate spirit helpers as I went through shamanic apprenticeship training. So I found connection there. I found truth there. I found a way to relate and be and understand through the eyes of compassion, through the spirit of compassion. And even the word passion that I felt was gone, that enthusiasm, that joy, mm-hmm. passion took on a new meaning for me when I actually broke up the word and realized that it was pass I on.
I love that. Repeat that one more time.
Yes. That passion, when you break up the word, is pass I on. That I is your soul's expression of what you're here to pass on in this lifetime. So through my years of all the different things and tremendous amounts of loss of loved ones and the home and relationships and bankruptcy and all of the things, you know, that just fall away through impermanence, there was many funerals that I had gone to. And I would listen to what was shared about the person that had passed on. And, you know, Mylene, it was really about their spirit. Sometimes it was what they did, but did for others. You know, and the spirit that they had, like they made them laugh, they made them angry. They were a teacher. They were, you know, they were something that was passed on that people remember long after you leave this earth. And I find that's really our true passion as well, if we're talking about truth. And how we can move toward oneness, recognizing that I is also the all. That we are all just here walking each other home, as Ram Dass said, that we are all here to walk in beauty, that we start out as this little seed and then bloom into our fullest glory if we're nourished in the right way. You know, and that can come from nourishment from others, come from our own. And so I became a big advocate for soul care, you know, through sacred self-care, through spiritual wellness. That's so important to me that I realized the one thing that really can create true resilience is being able to keep our spirit intact. You know, when I was 10 years old, you mentioned, Mylene, at the beginning how you were able to tune into the fact that, you know, there was a lot of wisdom that I carried as a child, that I really felt into emotions and felt everything so deeply, which, you know, I later learned about being an empath and what that meant and how to really embrace that, you know, and navigate that so that I don't become so overwhelmed or so overstimulated and drained by other people's energy, that I can actually embrace it as a gift. But when I was 10, I would do a lot of observation, just trying to learn, because through that empathy and through just being a child, awakening to the wonder of life, I was really embracing all my experiences and just really curious, you know, and really that's how I live my life, with curiosity, courage, and compassion. But it all started back then. I remember when I was 10, writing things down about what I was turning into a book I thought would be called When Society Determines Your Destiny. Because that's what I was
10?
Witnessing.
You wrote that?
Wow. I was starting to write this. Yeah, When Society Determines Your Destiny. And this is how I think I was able to help process my thoughts and emotions and beliefs and my through my observations and journaling. And so this is what I guess that journaling was called. And you know, 30 years later, it was about 30 years later, I took the bones of that and actually transformed it into a book that was published, not When Society Determines Your Destiny. Because the real message was more about embracing your power. It was a healing journal of self-discovery. So I wrote in, you know, some insights, some observations I had, some teachings that I came to realize that or had been sharing that had been passed on to me from different elders or mentors or teachers I had along the way, you know, the allies. And so I created this because it was asked for. You know, I used to teach some transformational workshops and people wanted something to work through. So it's a journaling style book. It's like taking a heart's pilgrimage, you know, a pilgrimage inward to reconnect with ourselves, to come back into alignment and really into harmony with our soul, with who we are, with what makes our heart sing, right? That kind of harmony, that kind of what lights us up, and then being able to start with that, what lights you up, you know, and being able to elevate and engage with the world in that way. And so that was a very healing process for me. That's how I'd be able to came more into being able to express myself, because my mentor at the time had held the presence, the space for me to transform this When Society Determines Your Destiny kind of mentality into embracing your power and rediscovering the self, or maybe even discovering the self for the first time, because we're no longer living to someone else's expectations. So then we start moving from passion rather than obligation as well.
Ooh, moving from passion instead of obligation. I love that. I really love that. And also that the embracing, you know, your power, using that journal for yourself to look at yourself anew and writing it down. And I think more and more people not should do, I would say even should do that, take the time to create their own experiences. So if you're listening and watching, write some things down and take the time to look backwards. And Jennifer, what you're bringing now to the world, you've done that all your life since you were a little girl, because your understanding of and observation of how you observe, right? And then translating that into the written word in a way of, it's not a criticism. You just wrote what you noticed and what you're missing and what you would love to experience. Right. So, but this, you're now a few decades older, and now how did that change? So if you would ask, and even your journal is almost now a decade ago, what would be the new thing you would say nowadays? Because there's so much change. We're now, God, these are portals. I don't want even to go, if you go into the cosmos. So many answers are being brought to people. And I really would love everyone who's listening, take now the time to dig in a little bit of what ignites yourself, your soul, your heart, and to really tune in to Jennifer's energy as she is here now present with me, with you, and also in the future when you hear and listen to this podcast episode, because there's something, I'm making a hand movement for those that are going to listen. It is like and flutter. The birds do that. They can, they shake up. They shake, it's like chicka, chicka, chicka. And that is what your light is doing. Like, it is really moving fast and quickly, even though you're sitting totally still in front of your beautiful painting of nature and the blue and light tones. So these are all really colors of light. Spectrum of, right? The higher the vibrations go of really illumination, there is a light of this white, this yellow light, this blue light, that these are parts of the passage of illumination. So it's really interesting that you're in front of this painting. And if you're not watching, come on over to the Moving to Oneness a YouTube channel, because then you can take a look at that painting and how she really fits right in front of it. She's also wearing this light blue, and this is really the fine truth that Jennifer is emanating out. And then you can see her smile. Anyway, that's so important. Yeah, but on that painting, it is like the mist, and then you see a few trees, and they kept in blue, and even the shade is showing in blue tones. It is what I think it also gives healing, this picture, and you, not just to humans, we were saying, you're enabling them to walk their wisdom, right? To be who they are here on this earth. But through that, which is important, also nature can go back into its own vibration. And vibration is a light frequency, right? That the light can be going through as it desires, the most easiest way and path. Yeah, this is really, really interesting that you chose for the show to come down. And you mentioned you're in the downstairs just for this time together, but there is no coincidence. We know that there's always a reason in everything you do, in everything we do.
Yes, I am in the basement. I'm in Mother Earth's womb right now. This is how I feel, you know, because I have had been living in basement suites, you know, in different parts of my life, and it was still level with the ground. But right now I'm actually underground. I'm in a place where I don't normally live, actually. I'm visiting with family. And I wanted to visit with family over the winter because I felt like I needed a winter period in my life. Mm-hmm. And it was so fitting when I came into this room to find that I'm in Mother Earth's room now. I mean, that's so precious, so special to be connected in the earth, in her heartbeat, and just be embraced in that energy of our mother, of Mother Earth, you know? And so this is kind of like a womb space, you know, where
and you did
trees
about
are
birth.
Her favorite thing. So
Yeah,
I have
but you did
you.
speak about seed and birth. Yeah, keep
Yeah.
on going. Sorry, but it's
Oh.
important that it's an impeccable act, right? And you're trained in speaking and in impeccable acts of really bringing with any action you do a conclusion to a conclusion into
Yes.
an action.
That's true. That's true. And you know what? I felt really confined when I was in my career position for a little over 20 years in social services, where I worked with various populations that had become dispirited and were facing barriers and issues and learning to overcome them for various reasons, you know. And so I won't talk too much about that, but why I'm bringing this up is because I didn't want to relate to people role to role anymore, like this us and them kind of mentality, you know, and sometimes we see that in the spiritual field industry area as well, where there's like we put gurus and teachers up on a pedestal, you know, separate from us, and yet we look up to them. And really what spoke to me, Mylene, was being able to connect with people soul to soul. And I love words and acronyms and names, and you saw how I broke up the word passion, but soul, when we think of it as sending out universal love, sending out universal love.
Ooh.
When we come together as a collective, which I feel such a strong call towards right now, then imagine what that could feel like. Imagine how we can co-create global harmony. If we're all in that space of sending out universal love. And
It's
for
happening.
ourselves, yeah, it can help us tune into our passion that we're here to pass on in this lifetime. It could help us tune into how we want to send out that universal love through our individual lights as well, right?
So,
And
so your
lights.
journal is something, right? When you said journaling or writing, I can't emphasize this enough, everyone. It does something also. Many of you, or really everyone, is a medium. So we're all connected. And what Jennifer is saying so beautiful, or what you're saying so beautifully, Jennifer, is we're all like beings. There's really no one on a pedestal higher or less than us. It is older religions, I would say, the dominant religions have created that, and it's dissolving, luckily, this viewpoint. And we are community, and we're moving forward together, and we're learning to grow back together, especially those cultures that had been torn apart. And I believe often Christianity, they did that first. They tore apart men and women, right? And then they tore apart everything. But it's thousands of years old, and but that stayed a little bit with us. And now we're relearning. We're learning to understand, because as you said, something is not right. And how can we make it right? And one of the big things is for us to come together. And I think it's important that women come back together. We also have been pulled apart, because we did have a big presence of holding the harmony and balance on this earth, yeah, across the globe. So this is come, but we have to trust each other again. And that only happens if I can trust myself and understand myself. And if I understand myself and understand how I'm interwoven with everyone, right? The one in all, or in the one that is all, but we're part of it, and we really understand. And each person does carry a certain talent. Every one of you have a purpose. It's mostly a very simple one or two word purpose why you're here. Yeah, and what you're bringing and emanating out. So take the time to figure that out, because upon that you can build what needs to be brought to this world over the next few years. And it is going to be more and more the time of community, but really community, I think, Jennifer, like we have never had before. But again, this community, and I think it will start with small groups of individuals, 2, 3, 4, and then we're more comfortable to be together. But it's also to create together. That's going to be new. Yeah, like once, if I look back 100 years ago, you know, people did arts together, they were sewing, or you have different ways of creating clothing or furnishings or whatever. And it was often done in groups, and we have lost that. Yeah, maybe then if you, I forgot when, you know, when you make the pullover.
Yes.
Don't know.
Knitting and crocheting.
Yeah, and knitting and crocheting. Thank you. You know, women come together and they can talk and feel it. Or there is still, right, the book of the Red Tent, where women come together because they travel together. They come into the same rhythm for menstruation. But they can chat and share and bring out who they are. And what is also important, then they're seen. So, and they can show their, as if I'm going to use your soul, what I love that, what is the soul as a universal love, right? The sharing of it. Mm-hmm. And the sharing also means how we feel, how to receive it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is going to be a big thing. And that's what you're helping many with, is take an inhale and receiving it and keeping it in within you in that inhale and letting it like flow through before, you know, no, too often. You know, I remember times when I told a woman she's beautiful and she couldn't hold it. I experienced mm-hmm. that often.
Mm-hmm.
Women couldn't hear that word. They can say it. Or we were able to say it. And this is just one of those examples. But I think this is the way we're going. And especially if you are, you spoke also to the being empathic and able to feel what others have and able to help. We're really all very good of this. And you said so beautifully, you knew all those tools, but you didn't use them. And that's when we need someone else to nudge us, to say, take the time now, I'll hold the space, like your mentor did, hold the space and use your own tools, listen to your own intuition even further. And I think this is really time of the essence at the moment, that we not dig sounds awkward, it's not digging, it is expanding to let something rise up more that is within us. You know, when all of us, the older generations, more like I'm in the 50s, right, we have it still a little bit more, this pulling together, or we even had mothers and parents that are fathers that were very careful because we still ended up in loony bins. They were using electric shocks. You know, there were still horrible things going on. So there's also a reason why not even if ourselves, the surrounding numbed any confusion. Nowadays, everything is on the internet. We speak freely, not everywhere still, but more and more about how we think, how about spirituality, of being empath, and we're being asked to be authentic. So your work, Jennifer, is going to become much more easier to support people and in a way also to catapult them forward. Mm-hmm. So if you sense into, so what is important now for people to do in your eyes as a soul sharing your universal love with everyone?
You know, we hear a lot about following, right? You're following this person and that person and following some sort of set beliefs, religious beliefs, spiritual beliefs, your own beliefs. People need something to kind of move towards, right? To follow. And yes, you can start to embody your leadership until you can fully trust that there's something to follow. And so what I would suggest is that you follow your soul's calling. Follow your soul's calling. Listen for that, seeing what it's pulling you towards, how it's moving you, moving again from that passion rather than the obligation to follow your soul's calling. And there's a lot of talk too about those beliefs, you know, personal beliefs, the limiting beliefs to transform them. A lot of merit around that. However, I'd also ask people to consider their convictions. What is your conviction? What do you truly stand for? You know, because a lot of the people that I worked with and served in the past have always been trying to fit in, even when they don't, which is self-defeating, and then come to realize that they were really meant to stand out, that they were meant to be a leader, an embodied leader, and to be able to direct their life in the way that supports their vision and aligns with their mission. Right, my biggest fear in life, like I mentioned, and what kept me going was my conviction that I was here to fulfill a mission, that I had a purpose. I might not have been as clear about it back then, but I knew it was something that was worth searching for, understanding more, deepening into more, doing the inner work of ascension to come to that realization, you know. And so once you know what your convictions are, then it can also support you in being able to devote your life to what you are most about, not what you have to do, just becoming a full expression of who you are. We can remember Maslow's hierarchy, right? Where he spoke about the physiological needs and then love and belonging and self-esteem and all of those things that were on the bottom of that pyramid are great. And it's where self-care comes into practice a lot, where we want to be able to sleep and eat and do everything right. And it's a self-perpetuating cycle of you're not enough. It's buying into you're not enough. There's a deficiency. They're all based on deficiency needs that we're lacking, you know. And so, however, when we move up further, we get into the growth needs of connection and belonging, of our mental health, our spiritual wellness, of beauty that surrounds us and recognizing that within ourselves, within others, in the world around us. And at the top of the pyramid is that self-actualization. And that's the journey that we're on. You know, we are who we are becoming. We're actualizing that. We're realizing that only when we go through some of those deficiency needs do need to be met. And then we move into the upper level of that pyramid, into our growth needs. What helps us to grow and expand and really realize what we're actually capable of, to build our capacity, to share the gifts that we came here to share, to really pass eye on.
Yeah, so if someone is in the lower tiers, what can you support them with so that they are able, you know, I don't even think in the deficiencies, you know, this is an interesting, it's still a little Freudian. I don't even think we have sometimes deficiencies, and
not enough sleep, not eating the right food,
okay,
you know, not having enough energy, not having enough money, not having family, there's not doing enough, you know, there's meeting all those physiological needs that are the basic tenets of survival, you know. And for many, they're in that place. And I have been in that place many times too.
How did you get out?
There's also conditions that help us to thrive. Yeah, it's my conviction that I was here for a purpose. It was having that divine connection. You know, when I wasn't connecting with others, to be able to connect with something bigger than myself, with a higher purpose. So
did you sit down?
Learning.
Yeah.
Sorry?
Give an example. So did you sit down? How did you connect? So that it's something tangible. I would love to leave that you leave something tangible for people, so they can really go through that faster.
Mm-hmm. Finding the right community that supports you, that has the conditions that elevate you and to be able to thrive in the world. So when I had left my husband after, that period of dysfunction and dispirited experiences, I came across a wise woman weekend. When we start seeking, we can tap into our inner resourcefulness, and then the outer resources start to show up. So everything we need just comes about. This is a universal truth. It's a mystery, really. But I went into the Wise Woman Weekend, and that's where I gathered the community, the support. I learned about integrated energy therapy, so I became certified in that because I heard someone in the lunch line say, "You get the issues out of your tissues for good." And I'm like, "Oh wow, I don't have to talk to anyone." It's like I said before, I didn't know who to go to, who to talk to, and so I got this energy work done, and it really worked for me. And so I wanted to then share what helped me and became certified in that. And so I was practicing that, and then going into shamanism because I'm very deep in my convictions around soul work, and so I started learning that. So it's learning, it's surrounding yourself with the people that help you feel supported, loved, and connected. That's further along the path that can and is willing to walk with you, that is willing to light the path for you, that is willing to show you the way forward in your life. And the path is not linear, right? There's lots of pivots along the way, but there's power in that pivot. There's also power in the pause. So sometimes there's just the time, taking the time you need to honor the space between how your life was, is, and becoming, to honor the space to process and integrate and assimilate what you learned through all of that. I was very resistant to that because I was always one to just keep going, move forward. Okay, so that happened. What else is there? What else? What's next? What else is possible? So it really starts with the willingness to reach out somewhere. The teacher appears when the student is ready. We hear that over and over again. And so it really comes to freeing your spirit to direct the life that you're meant to live. So letting go of anything, including your own convictions and beliefs that are holding your spirit back, that are holding your spirit small, that's not allowing you to expand, to make room for your future to take hold, to start clearing your head so you can make the decisions and conscious choices that support your future.
How can you clear your head?
How can you clear your head? Making room for it, taking out anything that's draining your energy, even decluttering your space is very helpful. Just decluttering your space, because every time you see something, oh, I still need to do that, I still need to do that, that's already grabbing your attention. It's grabbing your energy and bringing it over there. So it's constantly draining out your energy. So a simple practice is to declutter even just one area of your house, your bed, under your bed, on your dresser, on your desk, just making sure you have a clear path, even in your home, to have a space where you can quiet your mind. So when I clear your head, not allowing anything else to come in, there's so much already in there, that needs to be processed through. So breathing in can be a breath into breathing in love, space, cultivating spaciousness, and breathing out any of the thoughts that are no longer serving you. And just continuing that breathing practice to move it through you, just freeing your mind, gathering your thoughts with your in-breath, and freeing your mind on your out-breath. As you breathe in, you're gathering, you're pulling in, imagining that your thoughts. And then releasing those thoughts, freeing your mind with the out-breath, and just continuing that practice. There's a reason too why we count sheep at night, or at least when we were kids, to help us to sleep, because one side of our brain is counting the sheep and the other side of our brain is picturing the sheep. And so it's occupying the mind, giving it something to do, giving your body something
There's
to do.
a talking about sleep. I remember, and I do that often too. I do that in evenings and in the mornings. Before we go and fall asleep, we go become deanimated. And for everyone, it's a good idea to create your life when you're lying down there and think about it over and over, what you want to create, about one thing to really make it from not so from abstract into more something material. So the longer you sit and or lie, I should say, maybe sometimes you sleep sitting down, to really think about what you want to create, maybe the next day, next week, and take one topic, one item. And that really helps. And I love that, Jennifer, that you send that to declutter and that to do one little piece, and doesn't have to be the whole house, like spring cleaning or fall cleaning, you know, all at once. Yeah. Intuitively, we will know what to needs to be done. I remember when I went to Las Vegas for a talk, I suddenly needed to wash the curtains. It was something really awkward. I had to wash most of them in my house. Two rooms didn't, and I knew those two rooms didn't need it. The curtains there, but I followed it, and it's so important. I want to put a point on that, that we really follow then in that moment, like, oh my God, I don't have time now, I have to pack. But there's a reason, there's a bigger reason why this is happening, and it is sometimes already also in the future, or something within happens to you. Mm-hmm. And then another thing which is very important now, that we are set in a fast-paced life, Jennifer, and you hinted to that, is when we get distracted, like say we check our emails, we are on social, we want to do one work, and we know we go so fast, our nervous system it needs the time of doing nothing for a moment, like just hanging. I don't want to use the word, you know, when you were a kid, you said, oh, I'm bored. And then you had to think about something. But these low times where we don't get distracted duck, 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 by all many other things, which we do, and it's really not so important, creates the moments where we go into creation, where we create the visions, where we look into our future, and we set intention, and that starts creating the life you desire. So see also, where can you do less? Can you check your emails less? Can you check your phones less? And it's a practice. You don't have to suddenly look only twice a day onto your phone. And also people, you know, they're so used that we call or write back right away because it fits in their life. Stay with you and see what fits. What rhythm fits you the best? When do you want to answer? And that you also delegate, dissect, or whatever it's needed, that you create space for yourself to do all these beautiful Jennifer things that Jennifer mentioned, right? They need presence. You have to be present with yourself. Oh, Jennifer, you have beautiful, you know, and you understand so much. Every sentence entails a lot of wisdom that you speak.
Thank you.
How can people connect with you and learn more about you?
Sure. You know, probably my website is the big hub for everything that you'll find. That, you know, I lead a Wake Up and Change the World Global Summit a few times a year, and I have a podcast called Awaken and Ascend. I also work with people through mentorship programs as well, and a co-creators mastermind, and also supporting people in workshops. And there's a monthly masterclass that I offer that's free. And so whenever you're watching this, you can just go to lightingthepath.ca/ignite, and you'll find when the next one is. And you're welcome to attend that. This is an opportunity where we get to meet for an hour as a masterclass to ignite your passion, to be able to unlock your potential, to embrace your life mission, and be able to transform the world. And if transforming the world seems too big, you know, at least to transform your life. And you mentioned about the nervous system, and that reminded me of a very simple practice, actually, Mylene, that we can share too. If people ever want a little reset, and it takes a little longer to explain it than to actually do it, but it just takes 20 seconds normally once you know how to do it. And when you put your right hand over the top of your head, which is also your crown chakra, And you allow yourself to breathe in and out for 10 seconds, usually an inhale is about 5 seconds and exhale is 5 seconds. And then you switch and do the same thing with your left hand over. And then just settle. And you may notice that you feel even just a little bit calmer, more settled, because that actually rebalances both hemispheres of the brain. You know, that you can balance the busy, busy, busy and the quiet one and just have them come into balance. 20 seconds is all it takes. And once you kind of master that, then you can add in maybe an affirmation or an intention in that. Just some awareness on your breath. Or with your other hand that's not on the top of your head, have it over your power center above your belly and your solar plexus and have that connection there. And so that's a wonderful thing. You want to mention all these wonderful things about me, Mylene, and I thank you for that. But I have a confession to that about lying down and sitting into stillness. I can't do that. I am not good. I'm a little bit better. But for so many years, I've tried to sit and to meditate, and I can't. I need to move. I need to walk and be out in nature. I need to dance, or I'll do some kind of movement to move the body. And so I just want people to know that if that's a difficult thing for them too, there's other ways. You know, in shamanism, there's actually four key practices, and that is singing, dancing,
yes.
Nature, and sweet silence. Oh, that's one of my favorites, sweet silence. Yeah, we're just settling.
So I understand
that.
You fully. I'm not a meditator either. I do sit in the sun and communicate with the sun, and
yeah,
so I can really feel her warmth, or anyway, warmth too. Under you can stay get in stillness under the shower. Sometimes I need really warm water on me. It does helps me expand my body anyway. Always contracts because of the cerebral palsy. But you're right, even, you know, we're so trained to sit still, but most of the rituals, we were dancing them, right? Dancing meditation, it's the most beautiful. I do that a lot too.
Yes,
Jennifer.
Yes.
Just let the body move me, yeah, to
yes.
Listen to the music and see who wants to dance. Okay, I'm also a channel, a physical channel, so many other beings are happy when suddenly the music goes on and they can dance through me. But sometimes I do it also for myself. Mm-hmm. And that is really, you get also flexible. So everyone, we were pushed by oppressors, I'm going to say, to be inflexible, to be rigid, to be having to sit still. And this is now not the time anyway. So this is, they have no power over us anymore. More and more you will notice, and you're feeling it already. And we are supposed to be flexible, always on the move, moving our brain going. So yeah, that's why I do all these things when I go to bed and fall asleep anyway. And I know I'm deanimating, and then I like speed, bring all things together before I'm traveling when I sleep again to somewhere else. Yeah, we are all so different, and it is very important that you do what you love to do, what works for you. Do try out a new few things. I really loved and enjoyed, Jennifer, your hand on the head. It was quick. It is also a movement, and you know, you don't have to sit still to do a breath. This is a beautiful thing for children, because they can use their limbs, or you can do it standing, sitting, even lying down. It just functions.
When you're at the stoplight in the car. Yeah, absolutely. There's lots of opportunities where you have 20 seconds to do that. Yeah.
Yeah, that's sufficient for the brain. I remember when I was in college, someone said, just hang up a panorama picture behind your desk, so in front of your desk, because many of us have desks facing a wall, or you're in an office space, so it's more confined. And if you can look at a picture or the panorama, if you're lucky, you have a window where you can look into the distance. I'm lucky I have my trees everywhere. That's why even when I'm speaking here on Zoom, I connect with the trees or the birds or the clouds or the sun really quickly. And you need 20 seconds. So to gaze at a distance or even a picture which has a distance in it, right? Like a mountain's view,
yes,
or a valley, a sunset picture where you can look afar, that helps you relax. And again, also there, you need 20 seconds. There must be something about those 20 seconds that is so magical.
Yeah, you're right. We need that natural light. We're looking at our screens so much these days. So that sun, absorbing that. So many beautiful practices. I have so many soul care practices that I offer people to implement so that they can lead others in a meaningful way. So yeah, I invite people to connect with me at lightingthepath.ca.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah. So I'm in Canada.
Another C word.
Yeah, in Canada. No, and I should share a little bit before we end. I would love something typical about the area you live in Canada, because we have people from around the globe that are listening. What landscape area, or do you have a favorite spot you go to?
The forest. Yeah, old growth forests in particular.
How does your forest look like? Because forests around the world look different. Can you give
like
us the colors, the feeling?
Branches, and there's moss growing on the trees and all around. It's such vibrant green. Quite often you'll find me inside one of those trees because they can be hollowed out. And then I go inside and I just kind of tuck in there or sit in there. That's actually one place I can sit. Yeah, I love walking through where there's a lot of greenery and the rustling leaves that you can hear as the gentle breeze goes, or how the light shines through the leaves. It's so beautiful. So the forest is gorgeous for me. And you know, it's in Canada's west coast in British Columbia. And there's many that people think Canada's really cold and we live in igloos. I'm surprising that some people still believe that. And that's true for some parts of Canada in the winter time. But in British Columbia, it's actually very temperate throughout the year. There's tropical trees that grow there, even not as big as what you'd get in California and other places. But there's enough that it grows. So we have the mountains, we have the ocean, we have the forest. And I like all three, but the forest is really what I like to call home. That's really what helps me restore my senses when I'm feeling overwhelmed or overstimulated or just wanting to connect. I go to the forest.
Oh, beautiful. Yeah, the forest is here. And again, everyone, you're never alone. The trees are here to support us, the birds. Walk sometimes maybe barefoot, take a moment and rest and lean against the stem. Talk about that a lot. Because it nourishes. And as Jennifer said so often during our time together, whatever nourishes you, to support you to move faster into you, to shine your light brighter, where you can be more relaxed, your particles more open apart from each other, so the light can come through. So also maybe explore your forest and share it maybe with Jennifer and me. What kind of forest is in your area and what you love? And Jennifer, you must have tall trees that you can go into the hollow of...
Yes, several hundred years old. Yeah.
Yeah, it's hard for us to find here in Germany. And maybe if you're lucky with they're thick, but we really have to go hunt for big old trees. Yeah. So thank you very much for your time. One more wise sentence of the beautiful soul illuminator for the world, please.
I'll share my life motto, which is free your spirit to direct the life that you are meant to live.
Can't top that, everyone. Do it. Free yourself. Free yourself. There are many people here to support you. Now is the time so you can shine your light brightly and moves smoothly through the time that's coming now, and that you're here for others so you also can support others that are going to reach out to you. So Jennifer, thank you very much for being on the Moving to Oneness podcast, taking the time early in the morning to be here with us. And everyone, the best to you. Walk out into the forest, talk to the light, take the 20 seconds to relax, and become who you are and share yourself with us. Bye-bye.
Yeah.